Okay, this is Natalie Olson. Today is Tuesday, May 3rd, and I am interviewing Dee Bybee, and we are in the library of the Desert Caballeros Western Museum. Thanks for joining us today, Dee.
Oh, you're welcome.
All right, so let's start with a little bit about your background. Where and when were you born?
Well, I ended up being born in Tremont, Utah, on June 25th, 1943. My dad at that time was working on road construction, and they were building a road through there.
Okay. Well, what brought your family to Wickenburg?
Well, it was kind of getting towards the end of the Depression, and my dad had lost his job in Wyoming. Both my parents were from Lander, Wyoming, and from that area, and his oldest brother, Jim, had heard that there were jobs in the mines in Arizona. So he and my Uncle Jim and my mom came to Arizona to find work.
What were your parents' names?
Ray Bybee and Nadine Bybee.
And when they got here, what kind of work did they do?
They got jobs in the mine. I know you know my dad, but he and my uncle had never been in a mine before in their lives, but there were a lot of people looking for work then. So they just lied a lot about their background and got a job working in a gold mine.
All right. Were they successful in their mining ventures?
Well, they were making a living. So I guess, you know, from that point of view, they were. Dad said they worked together, and they were basically just shoveling ore into ore carts. He said they worked 12-hour shift, and he and Uncle Jim would take turns. What they'd do is they'd blast a section of the ore, and then Dad and Uncle Jim would shovel as fast as they could to fill an oil cart. And then one of them would push it out to the main, and the other one would rest or nap. And then they came back, they would fill the ore car real fast, and the other one would get to rest. And they did that for 12 hours.
Wow.
So it was not an easy job.
Do you have any siblings?
I have a sister.
What's her name?
Jackie.
Jackie, does she live here in Wickenburg still?
No, she lives out on Patton Road, so I don't know if that's Surprise or
Whitman. Maybe.
Whitman, I'm not sure what town it's in, if it is.
What do you recall about your neighbors growing up here in Wickenburg?
Okay, well, when we first moved, okay, I was born on the 25th of June in 1943, and a week later, Dad got drafted. And so he took Mom and I back to Wyoming, and they bought a little house there, and he was in the Navy. He was a hydraulics man on board an aircraft carrier. He got a medical discharge after 3 years because he contracted Berger's disease, and they had a lot of Japanese prisoners of war that they hauled on this ship. And so the combination of the Berger's disease and a lot of those prisoners of war had gangrene. Dad ended up getting gangrene in both of his legs. But they called it dried because the Berger's disease cuts off your circulation. And so the gangrene couldn't grow. And they sent Dad home, and he was diagnosed. Then they said, well, he'd have to live in a cold country because they cut the nerves to his legs so that the blood flow was continuous. It was not like if we get cold, our blood flows faster. His didn't. So the only place they knew that was warmer was back here.
Okay.
And so they came back to Wickenburg. Opened a little grocery store, which is where Trilogy is now. It used to be where Gold Nugget was.
Okay. And then what neighborhood did you grow up in Wickenburg?
We started out, well, three different places. The first one was a little house, and it reminds me very much of our adobe building in the basement here, because it was basically one room, although it was wood, not adobe. And part of it had been partitioned off a little bit, not completely, but a little bit for a kitchen area. And there was a bathroom area off the kitchen area. But we had a sleeping porch. And I don't remember having even an evaporative cooler there. Now, we may have, because I was only about 4 when we moved back here, so I'm not sure of that. But I do know that we just had an ice box, and that the ice man used to come a couple of times a week. And then a family hired Mom and Dad to run like a little ranchito. It's out where Peaceful Valley is now. Okay. Now it's like a trailer park or something. But back then it was, there were 3 pretty good sized hay fields. And it was on the Hassayampa River. And so there was a water source. And we lived in a little house there until I was in the 3rd grade. And the people who owned it wanted their kids to have the country experience, but they didn't want to milk the cows. And so Mom and Dad took care of this little ranch, and we had weird things like cows and donkeys and peacocks, and you know, as well as horses and things. So, and then we moved in to town, and Mom and Dad bought property that now is under the bypass, and at the end of Coffinger Park. So if you go to the riverside end of Coffinger Park, then that next, like, about 5 acres would have belonged to Mom and Dad.
So you grew up on the Hassayampa River, basically.
Basically, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Do you remember it? Any good stories on it? Remember it flooding? Or?
Oh, I remember it flooding many times. One time, probably I was about in 7th or 8th grade, and we had a pretty bad flood. What normally would happen is if Saul's Wash ran and the Hassayampa River was running, that's when we got in trouble, because we were right at the divergence of both of them. And this particular time, well, that property, we had a full roping arena. And we had corrals that we rented out to people, so like a stable. Mm-hmm. And on the front of the property, there was a kind of a rise. And Mom and Dad had a duplex and 2 rentals up there. And then eventually they built a larger house. And there was one other rental. Anyway, on this particular time, the water was up and it was coming into the corrals and stuff. And I was riding my horse through probably 2 to 3 foot deep flood water and going down through the corrals and catching up other horses and getting them out, and took them up on what's Coffinger Park and tying them up there out of the flood.
In the 7th grade.
Yeah, it was a 7th or 8th grade. And the one smaller house that wasn't up on the rise was flooded. It did end up with about 3 foot of water in it. The other houses were okay.
Did you have many neighbors when you guys lived in that area?
The Orozcos were next to us. Coney Orozco worked for the city until he retired. Mm-hmm. And his family lived next to us.
Did they have kids and you guys all play together?
Yeah. Yolanda was their oldest, and she was probably 2 years younger than me. And then Karina was my sister's age. And we called her Pequena, but it's Teresa. It's what I think her name really is. She was younger yet, and then young Coney, who also worked for the city for a while. Mm-hmm. You know, we all lived right there together, so.
Where did you guys go to school?
Mostly here in Wickenburg. Mm-hmm. I actually started school in Phoenix because after Dad sold the grocery store, he went on the GI Bill to school to do leather work. And so we spent about 6 months in Phoenix when he was doing that. And I went to first grade in a little school in South Phoenix. We lived across from the insane asylum. And we happened to be there one of the times that Winnie Ruth Judd escaped. But anyway, that's another story.
Wow.
And I guess probably because of that, my parents were pretty much paranoid about me catching the school bus. And I mean, really beat it into me that don't ever get in a car. If a car stops by, you run. If you know, mm-hmm. I still have trouble if a car pulls up behind me. I am afraid. I really learned that lesson. But in my first grade class there, I was the only English-speaking student in the class.
Wow.
Most of my classmates were Hispanic. And mostly those 6 months, all I remember is never being able to figure out what was going on. I didn't understand. The teacher spoke in Spanish most of the time.
Mm-hmm.
And she assigned one of my classmates to translate for me. So another six-year-old is trying to tell me what's going on. But then after Christmas, Dad finished his training, we moved back to Wickenburg. That's actually when we moved out on the Peaceful Valley Ranch. And so the second half of my first grade, I went to the Little Red Schoolhouse.
All right.
And then I graduated from Wickenburg High School.
What year did you graduate high school?
1961.
Do you recall some of your classmates?
Sure.
And who were they?
Well, probably my best friend from the time we moved here before was Wilma Rubash. Her mother's mother owned a little house where the community center is now. And I told you Mom and Dad had the grocery store that's like where the Gold Nugget was.
Mm-hmm.
And Wilma and I started playing together then. And then when we moved back, of course, we called her Mike, but her name's Michelle Pullman. We were good friends. The Loomises, didn't move here until Leanne was probably in the 7th or 8th grade. A friend that's been a longtime friend would be the Goodmans, Harold Goodman, their only son, and because the Dad and Mom knew the Goodmans before I was born, and they had mined together. So Harold and I grew up, and he kept a horse down at our stables most of the time we were there. Oh, I don't know. Lots of them.
Yeah.
Earlene Madrill, it's now Earlene Jones. She and her husband still live just outside of town. The Blakeleys, that had Blakeley's Filling Station. Charlene is my age, and I don't know. I know, you know, there were a lot of people. We knew pretty much everybody in town in those days.
Speaking of the curriculum, because I know you're a teacher later on, did the curriculum change a lot from the time you were in school till it is now? Did you guys study Arizona history and Western history when you were in school?
I don't remember studying it in school, no. I know that when I came back to teach, Larry Thrasher taught a unit on Arizona history. But I don't think we had it when I was in school. But we didn't have art classes. There were a lot of things. It was a pretty basic, you know, reading, writing, arithmetic curriculum. We did have history and government in high school. And we did have band. But we didn't have graphic art. And I don't remember ever having any Arizona history.
Did you attend church here in Wickenburg?
Yes.
Which one?
Well, when we first moved here, my mom had been raised Methodist and Dad's family was Baptist, and there wasn't a Methodist church here. So we went to the Baptist for a while, but later on we went to the Presbyterian, and that was probably the, you know, where we went for the longest period of time.
And do you remember your pastor's name?
No. You know, it was Doctor, and he had a TV show at that time. And I tried the other day to think of what his name was, and I just can't remember it. So.
Now, I'm going to ask you what kind of work you did. I know you were a teacher, but how many years were you a teacher before you retired? And what grades did you teach at?
Well, I started teaching in 1965, and I retired in 2009. So I think that's 44 years. And during that time, the first year I graduated from NAU. The first year I started substitute teaching, but then I taught so many days that they had to put me on salary because I went beyond the limit. Mm-hmm. One of the teachers had fallen and broken a hip, and I took her fifth grade class and taught it most of the year. And then I got a job in Seattle, Washington, in a juvenile detention center, and I taught the kids that were so troubled they couldn't be in the regular detention center classrooms. So I had the kids that had serious emotional and mental problems. I taught a couple of kids that were had killed people, and were some that were suicidal.
Were they
gangs? I taught from second, third grade up through high school. Mm-hmm. And I did all of the pre-testing for the kids, which was interesting. When no matter who they were, when they came into the detention center, I tested them to find out where we were going to place them in their school program academically. Mm-hmm. So I taught some high school kids. The ones that were very difficult to handle. I had some interesting experiences.
Mm-hmm.
I had two boys, high school boys. When I would go down to the high school unit, which was in the basement, first of all, I had all these keys to different rooms and areas, and they're padlocked on my waist. So I definitely couldn't lose them without losing me. So anyway, I went down to get, I had five high school boys I was taking up to the classroom, and I took them out of their unit, which is one locked area, into a hallway, which is another locked area, and then into a main hallway. And they were doing some construction down there, and a construction worker came through and left a door open so that you could see right out to the street. And these two of the high school boys turned and headed to the door. And I yelled in my meanest voice, "Get the hell back in line." And they did. Now, I probably weighed 125 pounds then. You know, I'm 24 years old. Any of those high school boys was bigger and stronger than I was. So I got them into the stairwell and locked them in. And then took them on up, and so that was an interesting experience. I've often thought those kids must be hitting their heads and going, "Why did we listen to her?"
Must have been pretty convinced.
I must have. So, and then from there, I went. I taught 1 year at a little country school in Maltby, Washington, and then we moved back to Arizona. My husband's father had had a stroke. And we moved to Kingman so that my husband could help them. His parents ran a truck stop there. And then I went to work at Kingman's school district, and I taught there for about 7 years.
Wow.
Then I came back to Mecklenburg.
And you finished at the high school level here?
No, I middle school.
Middle school.
Mm-hmm. I started off in first grade, and then mostly in Kingman, I taught third, fourth, and fifth. But I was a coordinator of their staff development in Kingman, and I moved here. My first job was with first grade, and then I taught second grade, and then I taught fifth grade. And one of the summers I'd gone to Alaska and worked. When I got back, they hadn't been able to hire a math teacher, and I had a minor in math. And so they moved you up to 7th and 8th grade math. And math teachers are hard to find. So I pretty much was stuck in 7th and 8th grade math then for most of the rest of my career, although I spent 6 years in administration.
So teaching that long, did you ever have children of former students come through your classroom?
Yes. Probably the last 10 years.
Yeah.
They would come in and say, you taught my aunt, you taught my mom, you know, so yeah.
Very cool. Let's switch gears a little bit. I know you guys are very involved in activities in and around town. Can you talk about some of the local activities that you did with your family? What you guys participated in?
Well, of course, Gold Rush has been big. It started the year before we moved back, I think. So most of all of the years of Gold Rush, my family was involved in it somehow. Mm-hmm. As a kid, we rode in the parade, and they used to have a junior rodeo here. So both my sister and I participated in the junior rodeo. My dad was in the Chamber of Commerce and, you know, involved in a lot of the planning and setting up for the parade and, you know, doing all of those things. So probably Gold Rush was the biggest event that we participated in. Dad also rode with the Desert Caballeros. I think he had his 30-year pin. Wow. So, you know, that was another thing that the family was big on. And as I said, we had a full roping arena with corrals and stock pens and stuff. And so Champy, can't think of his first name. His daughter was Elizabeth. We were in school together when she came to high school. His wife was Eleanor.
It'll come to you.
I don't know. I can't think of his name. Anyway, he used to provide a lot of the horses for the Desert Caballeros ride, and they would trail them in from Castle Hot Springs and put them in our arena. So when it came to Desert Caballero time, we'd have 100 head of horses in our arena and corrals and stuff down there, and of course then the riders would be coming down to get their horses and pick them out, and so it was a big deal.
Yeah, is this, when you say your arena, you mean down where Coffinger Park is at that property?
Well, it would have been, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah, well, that's basically after third grade. Mm-hmm. That's the property my folks had until after I was out of college and gone, so...
Did you participate in Saddle Club growing up?
Yes. My dad started the Junior Saddle Club and was the sponsor for it for a really long time, maybe 20 years, long after Jackie and I were grown and gone. Mm-hmm. Dad still sponsored the Junior Saddle Club.
I remember one of his stories saying how he tied you into the saddle. I think you were 3, maybe?
Probably. No, I think the biggest thing I remember, he was always telling my sister and I, all you have to do is this, no matter what it was. So one of the things that the Junior Saddle Club used to do is the dude ranches would have us come out and put on, like, demonstration rodeos. And So we'd go out and do barrel races and, you know, whatever. And one time, Dad wanted Jackie and I to do the barrel races together, two horses at one time. Okay. So he says, now all you have to do is hold hands and just, you don't have to go fast, just lope down, you know, turn the barrels. We both were barrel racers anyway, and it should be real easy. Okay. I think we were either at Lost Cab or Flying E, I don't remember which one. So we go out, and the first time, around the first barrel, it works really good. No problems. Well, my sister rode a horse that was probably three or four hands taller than my little quarter horse mare. So the first time, I'm on the inside. No problem. We get ready to go around the next barrel. And now I'm on the outside, and I'm reaching up to get a hold of my sister's hand, and the horn on her saddle catches underneath the cuff of my cowboy's shirt. And as she goes around, her horse gets way ahead of me, and it just lifts me out of the saddle and dumps me on the ground. So that was one of the rodeo adventures my dad made me have.
Holding hands, I bet, or anything.
Yes. Another one is when he was sure I could win the junior rodeo but I had to either rope a calf or I had to ride a steer.
And were you successful?
No. I didn't win. I was about in fifth or sixth grade. But in fifth grade, I had my full height I am today. I have not grown since fifth grade. Maybe I've shrunk now. I don't know. Anyway, so I was not heavy, but I was big for my age. And I drew a calf that, as Dad said when I was getting on it, there's no way he can buck you off. Because that poor little calf wasn't probably as big as I was. He said, just wrap your legs under his belly and you'll win. No problem. Okay. So they open the gate. The poor calf staggers out, falls on his side, and is going like digging the air because I'm way too heavy for the poor baby. And that's
that's a good visual.
Yes, well,
So you guys have been in town a while. What do you know about some of the early Wickenburg history, and who did you hear it from?
Well, if you're talking about real early Henry Wickenburg days, mostly I've just read the books. Mm-hmm. Like I said, we didn't really have it in school. And my folks, even though, I mean, they came here in 37, they were still kind of new people to the community, so they didn't have the background. They didn't know the people and stuff, so not really much.
Okay. And I know you mentioned one time your parents, didn't they live under the bridge?
When they first came to Arizona, this was the end of the Depression. I told you, Dad and my uncle came out to find jobs, and they came in Dad's car. He owned a car. They got work out around San Domingo Wash, but they didn't have any money, so they lived under a bridge. And then as Dad and Uncle Jim, I told you, were miners, and as they got some money, they bought a tent. And that's when I remember Mom talking about having the big tins under the legs of their beds to keep the scorpions and centipedes and stuff from crawling in bed with them.
You must be just right at home downstairs.
Yeah, I've heard the stories of a lot of that, you know. And then my Uncle Jim went back to Wyoming, but Mom and Dad stayed out here. They were, my mom had a bunch of miscarriages before I was born, and I think partially it's because they were starving to death. I know that Dad did a lot of trapping and hunting. And one story they told was, and this is when Uncle Jim was still there, they were starving, and there was a farm someplace out in there, a rancher who had chickens. So they decided to steal some chickens. And they got over, and they the chicken hutch or pen was all boarded up, but there was a window, and it was too small for my uncle to get through. So he lifted Dad up, and he gets in the window of this chicken hutch, catches a couple of chickens, and gets them out. And that, and all the chickens, of course, are making a big racket. So then the rancher is coming out with a shotgun, and Dad's trying to jump out through the window, and Mom and Uncle Jim took off running with the chickens. So, anyway, he obviously finally got out and away, but they had a number of adventures with some of the things they had to trap or hunt to eat.
Did they share those stories with you when you were a kid?
Yes.
Make you appreciate your dinner?
Yeah. Yeah, well, mostly because Dad was a big storyteller, so...
How has Wickenburg changed since you've lived here?
Oh, heavens. It's changed, of course, because we didn't have a community center when we first got here. That was built later. The new high school that area is, you know, really grown. The school district's really grown. At one time, the Garcia ground where Bash's is now, that was the whole school, K-12. Then they built the high school that's now Hacienda School. And that's what existed when I was going to school. The McLennan School opened up the year my sister was in second grade. So she went to first grade at the Little Red Schoolhouse like I did. And then they opened up McLennan School. Like I said, we didn't have a community center. All of the activities for the town were at the high school, on the high school stage. I think Wickenburg is still a small town in a lot of ways, which is good. I like that. But you know, I like the way they've beautified downtown, because I think if we're going to keep this town viable as a small town, it's got to be a tourist location. And so that, you know, it's a change, and yet it's a change that helps to keep it the way it was.
So you like the changes that you've seen?
I like the way the downtown looks and stuff. I think, you know, there's other things I'd love to see. If I were young, I would take Johnson's old building and turn it into a bed and breakfast, and which I think we could use downtown here, and it would be a really positive thing to do. And I think somebody will do something worthwhile with it.
What is it about Wickenburg that keeps you here?
Well, I own property here for a while. I'm going to try and sell my rentals. So if you know somebody that's looking for rentals, let me know. And I only have one child, and she married a Canadian. So it's not like I'm going to move to Canada to... you know, be with her or my grandchildren, because I'm not Canadian. So I don't really have someplace else I want to be.
What's your favorite Wickenburg memory?
I don't really know that I have a favorite Wickenburg memory. when I was a kid, we did a lot of playing in the Hassayampa River. We used to ride our horses up to Box Canyon and play up there. I had great parents, so, I mean, I have lots of just family memories of picnics and water skiing and, you know, things like that.
Where'd you guys water ski?
Well, we used to go over to Lake Havasu when I was here. However, there's a picture someplace of my sister actually water skiing out on what was the lake at the Hassayampa Preserve.
I see, I thought that was an urban legend, and I didn't know it was your sister. I heard there was a picture of someone skiing on that, that lake.
Mm-hmm.
Did you guys go out there a lot when you were kids?
Well, I didn't, because they didn't have it until after I was off into college. Because it's a war between my sister and I. So enough years that, that lake didn't exist until after I was gone. But we used to play in the river out there a lot. Because we'd not only ride up to Box Canyon, we'd ride down. And, of course, there was always water above ground there. So we'd go down there and play in the river. Like I say, I don't know of just like one particular memory. I can't think of anything that just really jumps out.
Sounds like you had a good childhood here.
Definitely did. Mm-hmm. You know, got a good enough education. I never had any problem in college. And, and then like I said, I had a great family, so...
Mm-hmm. Is there anything else you'd like to talk about that we haven't covered?
Well, I don't know if what you want. I wrote down lots of notes and names and stuff. So you asked about friends. Harold and Florence Goodman were a couple that Mom and Dad met when they were mining. And then they moved here, and he worked for the county, County Roads, Harold did for years. Their only son, Harold Jr., was one of my best friends. He kept his horse at our property. And he and Dave Carter, Dave's dad was the chief of police back in those days. So Harold and Dave and I and... sometimes we'd have someone else with us, but we did a lot of riding up and down the river, and we used to take turns wading in quicksand to see how far we'd go before we got scared and the others had to pull us out, and other fun things. Pullman's another name you'll see and hear around here. Mm-hmm. And Michelle Pullman and I are the same age to the day. And we found that out when we both had a matinee birthday party for our sixth birthday. And we got in a fight in the Saguaro Theater over whose birthday it was, because neither of us could understand that we could have been born on the same day.
She ended up being good friends over it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, from then on, we celebrated together once we got that straightened out.
Did you guys go to the theater a lot when you were a kid?
Well, yes, quite often. Mm-hmm. It was 25 cents for the matinee on Saturday afternoons. Actually, I guess it was probably only 20 cents for the matinee, because I always had money for a candy bar or something, too. With 25 cents, I could go to the movie and still buy a candy bar or popcorn or something.
Wow.
So, and then we lived not too far from it, because it was just, you know, up from Saul's Wash. So, yeah, we went to the movie a lot.
Did they have a public pool here when you were a kid?
Not until I was in junior high or high school, when they built the public pool. Before that, there used to be a pool over at the the trailer park on the left-hand side of
Desert Cypress.
Of Desert Cypress. There used to be a swimming pool there, and people from Wickenburg could go, so we could go over there and swim mm-hmm. occasionally. And that would have been when I was quite young, so, you know, maybe 6, 7, 8 years old. And then when they built the community pool, I'm not good at dates, so I don't know when it was exactly, but I probably was like middle school age mm-hmm. then.
Did you guys go a lot to the pool?
Oh, yeah, because we lived right across from it.
So in the same location, pretty much?
Yeah. Well, the old one is where the skate park is now.
Okay.
That's where the old pool was, which was just right almost in front of my folks' property there.
Yeah.
So, yes, we swim a lot. In fact, my first job that I had, you know, during the summer, things are always slow here. So Dad couldn't afford to have help in the summertime. And so the summer I turned 10, I was his help. So I went in the mornings and unlocked the store and did the sweeping and dusting and so on. And, you know, I waited on customers or whatever. Dad would go home for lunch. And then when he got back about 1 o'clock, I was off, and I would go swimming almost every day then. I'd leave the store and go home and eat lunch and then go swimming. And most kids today, so I earned a salary. I have no idea what it was, but I do know this. Half of it had to go in savings, so I got my first savings account the summer I turned 10. Part of it, and I'm not sure how much, went into a checking account. So I also had my first checking account when I was 10. And then whatever the difference from that was, whatever was left over, I had just for spending money. And I worked the whole summer. And then from then on, I worked after school and stuff at the store until I was 14, I think. Yeah, probably 14. I got a job at Ryan Evans. And that was a drugstore with a soda fountain. And it's right where our city offices and stuff are now, is where it was. And so I went to work there, and I guess it was a soda jerk until my senior year. And I got mad because they hired a lady to come in, and I had to train her. And they were paying her 75 cents an hour, and they were only paying me 50 cents an hour. And I asked for a raise, and they said no because I was still in school, and so I quit. And I went to Lost Cab and worked out there and waited tables. By the time I started college, I had almost 2 years of college saved up from having started working when I was 10. And I worked all the way through college, too. I worked at the cafeteria for meals. And then I worked at a drugstore at nights. And I'd worked at Ryan Evans, of course, as a soda jerk, but then I also later on worked in the sales and stuff, too. So,
what year did your dad have the saddle shop?
He probably bought the saddle shop. Well, it wasn't a saddle shop then. When he bought it, it was just a shoe repair shop, and it was over on Frontier Street. So just... Okay. Like 3 or 4 doors down from the corner mm-hmm. is where the original store was. And it was just a shoe repair store. And then Dad started adding into it and doing a lot of, making breast collars and bridles and you know, finally building saddles and that kind of stuff. And we moved once. So I'm thinking it was about 49 when he bought the shoe repair shop. We were only in that building a year or so. And then he moved up closer to the Legion. It was a larger building. And he kept adding things, you know. So he had shoe repair, saddlery, sporting goods. And then in 60, so say that would have been 49, maybe 58 or 59, he built the building where Ben's Saddlery is now. Maybe earlier than that, I can't remember. And moved up there, so. It was three different sites over that time.
Did you ever work in the saddle shop with him?
Yeah, I told you I started when I was 10.
Oh, in that store, okay.
Yeah, I started when I was 10. And I didn't do a lot of leather work. I could tool, but I wasn't really good enough to do it for sales stuff. But Dad didn't like doing the braiding and stuff and the stitching. And so I did a lot of that handwork. And the other thing that he'd have me do was some of the dye on the, well, whether it was saddlebags or whatever. If it had a design in it where we needed to dye or stain, I did a lot of that. But mostly I waited on customers and did stocking. And
did he have a lot of custom saddle orders?
Quite a few. Mm-hmm. I have some of his books. Everything that when he made a custom saddle, he wrote down all the information on what it was going to be. Mm-hmm. And he had them in little books like this, but you know, so I have a couple of those left that I don't know how many. Mm-hmm. I never did even count what's there. And, of course, I don't know that that's all of them.
Now, you guys were on a quest to find, get saddles for all the members of your family. Were you guys able to do that?
No. Well, we're still working on it. It's really hard because Dad had sold the store, I don't know, let's see, probably 20 years before he passed away. At least 20 years. And so he hadn't made saddles, you know, in 20 years. And though we, even though he had some names, it's hard to run them down. And so right now, well, I have one in my living room, but that's actually one that my son-in-law found and bought. And what he gave to my daughter as a wedding gift was one of Dad's saddles. He had found it someplace and bought it, and that's what he gave to LaFon for a wedding gift. And then this other one, I don't know where he got it. And then the last saddle that Dad made for himself, when he could no longer ride, he sold it to a man that lived up in Congress. And he told this guy, now, when, if you ever decide you don't want the saddle or you're not going to be able to use it anymore, I'll buy it back from you for what you've paid for it. And about 6 months before Dad died, he brought it back. So we have the last saddle he ever made for himself. My nephew has one of Dad's for sure, and then the Junior Saddle Club, not when I was riding, but later on started giving a saddle to their outstanding rider of the year. I don't know if they still do that or not. Mm-hmm. So when Jackie was the winner of it, she got a saddle. But they didn't do that when I won it. So anyway, so Doug has one that was made by Dad and just one that Dad had sold. And my daughter and son-in-law have three, one of which I have at my house. But we're still looking. So if you hear of anybody who's got one. I've talked to a couple of people that their father has one of Dad's, and they're not going to give it up. Which I don't blame them. I mean, you know, if it was your father had it, the saddle made for him, and he rode it for years, you don't want to give that saddle up. So, yeah.
Good. All right. Was there anything else you wanted to add?
I don't know. Anything else you would like me to like to ask?
Well, I know one thing I was interested in was all your dad's horse trading stories.
No.
He had some doozies. I know that.
Yes. Dad was a horse trader for sure. And I mean, I don't know what you've heard, but one that Mom always liked to tell was, this is when we were living out on Peaceful Valley Ranch, I think. And Dad was supposed to go to Phoenix and buy Mom a wash machine. And so he took the horse trailer to haul it back. And he comes back with a quarter horse and no wash machine. Turned out to be Buster, who we had for a number of years, and Buster ended up winning a bunch of the races at Desert Caballeros, and he was an excellent, good-looking registered quarter horse. But he had really bad saddle sores, and apparently that's why the owners were going to take him to the slaughterhouse.
Your dad knew a good horse when he saw one, huh?
And yeah, and he was pretty sure he could heal up the sores. Mm-hmm. At the time, we'd had a veterinarian here in town. I'm not sure what his name is. Sparks, I think, but that may not be right. He had injured his hands when they first started doing x-rays. He had got his hands burned doing x-rays. And he didn't like to work on large animals. So Dad started going with him and helping with the large animals. And at one time, Dad could buy any veterinarian prescriptions. He could just go in and buy them because it was cleared by the vet here in town. And a lot of times it got to the point where Dad would go out and do the shots or do whatever it was in his name, you know, the vet's name. And so I think, you know, by the time he found Butch, he had worked with the vet enough to know kind of what to do.
My husband had a story. I remember listening to your dad talk, it always rings in our head about your dad hauling horses in on a train at like midnight, and by 6 a.m. he had them all sold. And
we would end up with, you know, he'd buy a herd of horses from somebody, and they'd end up in the arena, and then he would be dealing. You know, he was a horse trader, and it was hard for Jackie and I to ever have a horse of our own that we could ride in gymkhanas and stuff, because about the time we'd get one working, he'd sell it. You know, the same with our saddles and stuff. Somebody'd come along and say, oh, that's a good-looking saddle. Well, I'll take, you know, whatever it was, and he'd sell it. So,
made for some colorful stories, at least.
Yeah, well. And some of them we'd bring in and we'd ride them for a while and calm them down, and then they'd be gone. So, well, you know, I mean, things like, you would not have this happen today. When we lived out at Peaceful Valley Ranch, now we moved off of there when I was 8. Before that, I used to drive the tractor, and Dad and Boots Madison, we would cut hay. They would pitch it on a trailer, and I'd drive the tractor and then haul it up, and they'd pitch it off. And Boots and I were working one day, and Dad was at the store, and the tractor was running out of gas. Now, I couldn't have been over 8, and I was probably 7 or 6. I drove the tractor from Peaceful Valley Ranch into, not clear into Wickenburg, because there was a filling station further out east then, and got it gassed up and drove it back. And that's on Highway 60, 93. I had to stand up. I would stand up and lean against the seat to reach the gas pedals. So we grew up doing things, whatever it was. Probably I was in middle school. I don't remember exactly how old I was, but it was my job to feed the horses before I went to school in the morning, and the cows. And so, I would be up at dark. It'd be dark, and mm-hmm. go down and feed, and then go in and take a bath and go to school. So there was never a time we weren't working. But that was pretty normal then. Mm-hmm. Nowadays, if you had your kid, well, first of all, if you wouldn't drive a tractor up Highway 60 now anyway. But, if you did send your kid to do that at 6 or 7 years old, you'd probably get thrown in jail.
Probably put us in the insane asylum.
Or something, yeah. But, I started doing that, like I said, I had to be 5 or 6, because then we moved.
Wow. Cool. Well, thank you for spending the time here with us today.
Yeah, you're welcome.
All right.
Now I'll go make deposits.